Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me, as almost always, the Aro Burrows gold bracelet to my Outer Burrows gold chain. Oh, it's Dan.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning to you. Once again, we are recording a post-midnight. We were doing so well for a while there, but as long as you're still up and peppy, we can get this sucker cranked out.
Yeah, I was just too busy tonight to make it happen on time, but we'll be fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's a tribute to you that you're able to get these podcasts done, because you are, I was going to say literally, but then I realize it's an incorrect usage, you are juggling several different things all at once, so kudos to you for being able to pull this thing together. So, we are here to talk about... It's the fourth episode we're up to now, right? We're here to talk about the fourth episode of season three, the final season, apparently, supposedly, of Dark. And it's nice, or intriguing, to know that the title of this episode going into it was The Origin. And first thing you're wondering is like, oh, I wonder which thing we're going to get the origin of. There's so many possible things, you know. So we started off this episode in 1954, right? That's the 50s era. So
yes,
we start off with now we're back with young Tronte, and it's funny. Were we not just talking about Tronte, the young kid looking like the middle age, not to be confused with middle aged. Scarred trio. We need to have like a good euphemism for them, because in my notes I keep calling them like the Scarface trio, which I don't know if it's really all that catchy or not. But that's
I just write the number three in my notes.
Okay, they're the three. It's kind of like people who watch like Killing Eve, you know, the 12 or something like that. The three. I like that. The three. I just thought it was funny that we were. I was saying in the previous podcast, you know, if you're going to cast them, they look like they should be related or whatever. And then there's kind of an inkling during the course of this episode that even Tronte himself has that maybe that guy's his father. I don't know if – I'm not going to say that's confirmed. I don't think
no,
it is.
It hasn't been confirmed yet, but we still don't know who Tronte's father is, right. Even though there's a little bit of speculation this week. But that is one of the currently unanswered questions.
Well, but we get the answer to a much bigger question by the end of the episode, but we'll get there. I don't want to jump to the ending that quickly. Just wanted to mention some things as I'm going through this, because I hopefully will be somewhat cohesive for this podcast. Because as I was telling you just a few minutes ago, because I take notes during the course of the watching the episode, some of them might be actual observations. Some of them are just little benchmark moments, just so I can so we can talk about what happened in the episode. But there's so many things that happen in Dark, and it keeps bouncing back and forth between so many things. It can be a bit of a confusing mess when you look at it initially. So I decided to try to go through the notes before we started recording, because they're on my computer screen, and I color coded them. So, for example, I know it's stupid. So, like, anything having to do with like Tronte and the kids of that era. So Tronte, Claudia, Jana, I guess that's how you pronounce her name. Inez, whatever. All that's and related stuff. That's red. But then when we get to like all the like the Hannah and Egon and Egon's wife, whose first name I keep forgetting what her first name is. I did not write it in the notes anywhere.
Doris.
Right. He says Doris. I should have remembered that. Like, that's purple, and so on and so forth. Like, you know, oh, Adam in the future, that was the green. And that way, when I skim through my notes, I'll just, like right now, we'll go through, like, the Tronte stuff. I'll just look for all the red things. Yeah. People are going to be so fascinated about how I talk about my notes for Dark.
That seems like a good idea. Maybe I'll get a bunch of different colored pencils, and I'll just start doing that on my paper.
You should just make the notes you do on Dark, you should just do them in like bizarre rebus form, like you're Charlie from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. So like every other word is just a weird doodle or something. And you have to do it on black paper so it's dark, you know, just like how they did the Batman animated series. I'm making references all up the yin yang right now. The thing I wanted to mention, in case anyone didn't pick up on it, much like when I brought up the whole Ariadne thing in the last episode. And by the way, did anyone notice that they did the song that they played was about Ariadne?
Yeah.
And pretty much I was thinking, I did not go and look anything up about it because, again, I'm fearful of trying to look things up because I might accidentally get spoiled on something.
Hey, even if you go to TuneFind, which I did when I was looking for a song for episode two, and just like it's like the first thing it does is like show you like episode 8 and give you a brief description. I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, it's a tightrope we're walking on this.
It's a minefield, like the minefield in Kelly's Heroes.
I thought I would have went with the minefield I saw in what's the TV show I watched that had a minefield. Oh, now that's going to bother me. Oh, good Lord. It was, I'm not admitting I watch it to anyone, but I still am. Oh, I don't want to say it on the podcast. You'll disown me.
Is it Cheers?
No, you would embrace me if it was Cheers. It's the opposite.
I wasn't sure if they had like an episode where like they did like a minesweeper thing against Gary's Old Town Tavern, but maybe it's a different show. I don't know.
Anyway, wow. It's great that I'm really trying to promote our podcast on that other page. Someone's going to tune in and was like, well, what? Anyway, the thing I wanted to get to, good Lord, this is why these are why we're pushing an hour plus with these things. The bracelet that the head one of the three gives him, which he says belonged to his mother. I just want to point out that what it depicts, I'm pretty sure we all could see that. It's a snake kind of eating its own tail, and that's an image I think people have seen before just in life. Just the thing to keep in mind what that symbol actually represents. And that's what I even used in the introduction tonight, the Ouroboros, which is what it's actually called. It's a circular symbol. It actually is a symbol of, it could be wholeness, but it's really a symbol of infinity. Kind of think that's important because we keep seeing the infinity symbol being used in, especially in this episode. Whether it be the chalk drawings we see in the cave with at some point in time Martha, or even the aren't those things that are on the floor with all the names? Don't they kind of culminate in an infinity symbol as well?
I think. Yep. There's one.
So it's at least two distinct places that we're seeing that symbol and everything kind of centering on it. So the fact that that's what that bracelet also signifies, I thought, oh, that's very interesting.
Did you think there was a chance that they're gonna take him out there when they reached into his pocket? I mean, it clearly wasn't likely, but for a second, I'm just like, oh, what the hell is gonna go on here? Are they changing the timeline or something?
Well, I think this episode they were kind of having a little bit of fun with that.
Because
there's a couple times where he's reaching into his pocket and you think, oh no, they're going to murder someone yet again they're not like a bad person. They're killing perfectly fine, innocent people. Because it happens with Tronte, and then it happens, now that I remember her name, it happens with Doris later in the church. Because for a second there, I was like, oh God, they're going to kill Doris now? Jeez.
I thought that was possible because I know she like isn't around... in the 80s, but I couldn't remember exactly what happened to her. I just knew that she'd die.
I would say odds are she's going to die sometime between now and the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because my feeling is I don't know. I mean, I don't know if this show could conceivably have anything that would be considered a quote-unquote happy ending. I don't know if you can name your show Dark and have a happy ending. I don't know if it could be a German show and have a happy ending either, quite frankly.
I don't know. I think there was actually a scene where Doris had a happy ending in an earlier season.
Yeah,
so.
Look at you. I set you up perfectly without even realizing it. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Hey, question before I start trying to move forward with the Tronte stuff, or unless we decide just to bounce back and forth, I don't care. Is it possible Whereas I'm assuming I'm not forgetting something from either season one or season two, although very conceivable. And I'll defer to you because you watched both seasons recently. Is it in any way possible that Agnes is not his mother?
I suppose it's possible.
But something about their... I remember the way they were before in those brief moments we saw them, which seemed a bit off. And obviously we know where she is and what we see her later in this episode, in fact.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there really is something to the fact that what Dora says of someone who can just leave their son so easily. Granted, I know she's you know, hook, line, and sinker, a disciple of what everything that's been going on, and so she doesn't care about such things like familial relationships, I guess.
And but, she seems to be abusing him, too, by, like, you know, putting cigarettes out in his arm or whatever the hell
is well, going on. So we're supposed to think that's from Agnes, then, correct?
I think we saw her do that. No, we don't see her do it, but like when he's talking about, like, you know, he doesn't care if he sees his father again, and then he like kind of shows his arm, he's like, I don't care if I see my fucking mom either.
Got it. Okay.
So he definitely at least signals that that's her, you know, her.
Gotcha. Well, what I'm gonna try to do as we talk about is, instead of just trying to go chronological, like I said, I color coded the notes that way. I figured we could just go through the each of the little storylines that's just take apart each thread if there's anything worth talking about with it. I mean, the Tronte ones, the only reason I'm starting with that is what began the episode, essentially, so we can just get that out of the way. It is kind of interesting. We do get to see some of all the younger versions of the characters we see, like, you know, in the 80s and later. I have to, once again, because there's so many names, you know, it took me like a minute or two to remember who Jenna was. And I was like, oh, wait, Jenna, that's Jenna Nielsen. Okay, got it. All right. I was just trying to remember who each one was every time. I'm just sipping through this. How did Janet? I mean, unless I missed it, maybe I kind of my brain short circuited for 30 seconds and I didn't see it happen. Did Tronte give Janet the bracelet? Did we see how she got the bracelet later on?
Yeah, he gave it to her.
He gave it to her. Okay.
Yeah, he's just like he only is like
that. Yeah, it was his mother's, and he doesn't care about it then. Okay.
Yeah.
Something else in 1950, we obviously spent a lot of time in the 50s in this episode. There was something about those ads over at the, I guess it's the Doppler House.
Yeah.
The Ethereum nuclear plant. On one hand, it makes perfect sense that they would just model them after themselves as, like, you know, the perfect the almost nuclear family, if there was like one more sibling. But it's kind of creepy, too.
It is, yeah. I actually rewound because I was like, "So is that them?" Because I don't think they did that with like the earlier seasons where they had billboards and stuff. But now I kind of want to go back and look and see if that's what they did.
I feel like I would have noticed it, but not necessarily. Yeah. Maybe I wasn't, you know, maybe I didn't have my eyes open for something like that. But I feel like I would have known because when they're on screen, the first thing that catches your eye, because the woman in the posters really looks like her. And that was what kind of caught my eye. And then I looked and I'm like, oh my God, that is Helgi. And I guess that's him. Okay. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the billboards were just more like more of a generic, like WPA style or something. And didn't really seem to, like, you know, have like really a lot of details in the faces, but I could be wrong.
I would assume you're right until we hear otherwise or yeah.
Yeah. So,
speaking of creepy in that moment, the thing that kind of bothered me more when, you know, Daddy Doppler comes out, and he's trying to pay Claudia, who's there, I guess, to see Helgi. Now, I'm assuming she's there to tutor him or something along those lines. Yes.
Well, yeah, because she's been tutoring Helgi for, you know,
right.
Previously.
I seem to remember that. But the way this scene plays initially, and if you're not thinking this, go back and watch it and think of it that way, then it kind of creeps you out. It really comes off more as prostitution. Like he's paying her just to go do something with his son or something. Maybe it's a German thing, I don't know. It just was very disturbing. I mean,
I don't know, I'll tell you.
there's a couple disturbing sexual related things in this episode, but I think that's almost every episode of Dark, just about. But
Yeah, I think he was just kind of like paying her, just like, you overheard my conversation. Don't talk about it. Here's $10 instead of like order.
I want to think that was it. I'm sure it was. It's just, again, it's just maybe it's just the way my mind works. I apologize, but I look in my notes. I actually wrote, "Thanks, Germany." So I can't help it. But the probably the one important thing with the scene with Trantes is he is the one who actually kind of says something along the lines, about the guy possibly being his father. I believe he's the one who
Right.
kind of indicates that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, he was one. Yeah, and Doris was also kind of suggesting it as an option too,
Right.
just because,
Go on.
just because, they're trying to find, because Noah disappeared too, or Hanno Tabor disappeared too,
Yeah, right.
but in reality, that's of course he's Tranti's uncle, not his father.
Oh boy. And I mentioned that I color coded my notes, right? You got the red, you
Yeah.
got the purple, the green, the blue. It's like one or two lines I didn't color because I didn't know if I really saw them as part of anything else. But the trio forces a politician to sign off on a building permit for a nuclear power plant. Are we really going to talk about it? There, I just did. Okay, I don't need to talk about it now. However, there's one line, there's one thing I wrote, and I made it in like a really big, dark, bold font, and I just wrote, "Geez, is everybody related to each other on the show?" And I'm starting to think, the more I think about the show, especially when you keep seeing, everyone's got these charts going on where this person connects to that person, and I realize, I think this entire town is related to each other. It feels like it's like 6 degrees of separation in Winden, where, yeah, there someone bangs somebody somewhere, and all these little connections. And so we were like freaking out back like a season or two ago, like about the slightly in, or not so slightly incestuous one situation. I was like, good. I kind of think they're all kind of incestuous at this point. It's amazing, it's amazing. Only the trio looks like they're inbred right now. I just wanted to get that off my chest. Okay, so flipping back, when we all still in the 50s, we finally find out what's been going on with Hannah. And as you were saying, I think last week, a couple days ago, I don't know if we knew for a fact, because I don't. Didn't watch ads for anything that she was going to be with Egon, though it was a good assumption, and she certainly is, and then some. And I guess it was one of the things when he gives her the St. Christopher's medal. I mean, the first thing I'm thinking is like, okay, that's the thing that Katharina's mom has in the 80s. So then later when she's talking to that little girl. Or not so little girl, I should say. At the woman who I'm assuming is like an abortionist or something. I realized, oh, that's got to be Helen, and then she actually says that's what her name is. And why, of all things, why would she be using Katharina's name? That
Yeah,
was
just because she's great.
weird.
Yeah, well, she's been using it ever since she came back. That's just the name that she gave Egon when she got to the 50s in the first place.
Right. Okay. I didn't remember. I'll admit I didn't remember that. But it's just kind of funny that she picks the name of the woman who hates her so much.
It's a little creepy, but that's how Hannah rolls.
Well, the
But
big.
yeah, so yeah. But just, I just, but I wasn't sure why, like, she was there. Katerina's mom was just like a little girl, just like hanging out at the abortion, like, lady's house, because that wasn't her mother there. That was like,
Well, I
like
was.
the hairy dude whose son disappeared in season one, like, that works for at the nuclear plant for Alexander. That's like his mom or grandma or something.
I was wondering about that a little bit. I mean, not that much, because I don't really think it will factor into the season.
No, never mind. Storyline. I just don't know why she was there. It's like,
well,
hey,
because she has her come in like she's about, like she's coming in for a procedure of some kind.
Yeah, so that's what I was. Yeah.
I started wondering, how old is she supposed to be here? I was trying to remember how old we would guess her mom to, her to be when we see her in the 80s. Because she's the mother of Katharina. She's obviously an older woman, but she's not, like, old, old. I mean, I would have just assumed she was probably, like, in her, I don't know, mid to late 40s, maybe? So, yeah. let's say she's, let's just split the difference. Say she's 45. So if she's 40, if she was 45, 33, 12? Yeah, I don't think so that they would be doing it. Unless she's supposed to be older. I mean, I think they may be playing a little fast and loose with people's ages here, but I'm not sure. I mean, again, I guess we're probably getting hung up on something that doesn't matter, but I was curious about that myself, because it's like, she's not working as a little helper for her. Why is she there? It's,
yeah.
Spend the rest of the podcast wondering about it. So anyway, I guess the big things that happened with this kind of chunk of the episode, this storyline thread, whatever, obviously the big thing, one of the big things is Hannah is pregnant. And really the significant, on this show, the thing that's significant about anybody being pregnant is now we can immediately speculate, assuming they have the kid, who that kid might be, who is that going to lead to? And if we assume she's going to stay in the 50s, we don't know if she's going to, because doesn't she still have the time machine that she got there with? Isn't that in the
60s? Yeah, she should still have a functional time machine unless she used it up.
Used up the rest, but there's no indication that's the situation. We don't know.
Yeah, there's no evidence of that, no. Now, do you think she's pregnant with Egon's child, or could it be Ulrich's? Because, I mean, 3 months is, you know, not exactly super far into this process. And that's how long she's been there.
That's pretty much how the
series basically starts, with her fucking Ulrich.
Right.
So, if the only episode's called The Origin.
It would be more twisted, actually, if it was Ulrich, I think, because of the situations that were already in play here in her and that family.
Yeah, because... Yeah, and she's pregnant with his child in the other reality as well.
Right, so it kind of like you get the mirroring thing happening there.
Right.
By the way, speaking of stuff, I mean, I'm going to flip the page over to something that's related, but not quite. What do we call her? When Lady Doppler shows up to see Egon, because she's wondering what happened to Noah. Or whatever the heck he calls himself there. You said it before.
Hanel Topper.
If there's one thing Egon does in this episode, he kind of establishes the kind of dickish idiot he can really be. Because he's pretty much a lame-o throughout this entire episode. I mean, the way he speaks with Hannah is like, really? You're asking her again? Are you sure? Are you sure it's mine kind of crap with her? But that wasn't the thing that caught my ear. It's like, ooh, that's not the thing to say. It's when he's talking to Lady Doppler about Noah. When he uses the phrase, have you ever seen him in the company of a woman? That's not the way to phrase that. Because when you phrase it that way, it sounds like you're saying something else. I don't think that's what you're asking her. You know, I don't think you're asking her, hey, did you see him, you know... No, come on. So, and then we already mentioned it. I had a genuine little moment of fear watching the scene when Mrs. Teeterman, after going to see her husband, and he's kind of a dick to her too. Although at least I kind of understand it, because, you know, she cheated first, and I think he's at least somewhat aware of it. He seems like he is from when he makes a little crack about, you know, who can tell women in their minds and whatever. But when she goes to the church and she encounters a trio, I'm watching the scene and I'm like going, Oh my God, she's literally. Oh, stop saying literally. She's about to talk herself into her own murder. It's like, I kept going, stop talking. Stop. Stop. Because the way he's, especially when he starts reaching for his pocket, which I thought was hysterical. And that's what I was telling you. I was like, okay, is that going to be the running gag in this entire episode? We're going to be like, I'm going to kill you. Keep it up. Whatever. But the funnier thing about that scene, and I know I just said it was kind of had me on edge, but I actually laughed during it as well. This guy who doesn't have a name, and they've made it clear he doesn't have a name. I think he's referred to in the credits as Unknown Man or something like that.
Yeah, I think it's just Unknown.
Well, I think all three of them are referred to as Unknown. I don't know if they have...
Yeah,
if they,
like one's young, one's old, yeah. One's like...
Oh, it's just called him the Unknown Trio. Jeez, why didn't I think of that? But usually when we see him, he's encountering someone, he's saying some kind of highfalutin, whatever, blah, 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 with the very slight implication of a threat to it. And you're like, no, it's not a slight implication, because 2 minutes later he murders him. Huh. Here he's a gossip. I just thought it was funny. He's like, hey... You know, I know you're full of it. You're actually here because you were having sex with her. I was like, you know what your husband's doing right now, don't you? Why? I thought that was a very strange thing, because it seems like, I mean, unless there's a bigger picture as far as their specific situation, which there might be, it just seemed really odd to me. You know. It seemed like something like that would be beneath what they're trying to do or accomplish. It seemed very strange to me.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, you know, I don't know, maybe it's just trying to like make them like look at their sins or something, but I don't know, it doesn't seem to be super necessary. I don't know.
I think the only reason, and again, it goes back to Hannah, is the fact that they're getting involved in that situation with this little bit of dialogue, again, seems to underscore there's probably something important about that baby in her womb.
Right.
So I don't know how telling Egon, Doris, very bad, I keep calling her Egon's wife, and I know in this day and age, she should not be doing that. But, you know, if we were in the 50s, that would be totally fine.
yep. Or if in the southern United States. So.
Well, yeah. I'm just seeing what else I have on their storyline. And we actually covered a lot of this stuff already. Wait, look at all that. Considering the show is called, this episode is called The Origin, and obviously it's called The Origin for much bigger things, but part of it was like, oh wait, is this the episode where Egon starts drinking and becomes like a total stupid drunk? Wow.
Yeah, I had the same joke too, like that's the origin of him being...
That's the origin I was waiting for. What's next? Am I going to get the explanation for someone's tattoos? Ooh, Lost Burn. Anyway.
Yep, so I guess that's all we're here to talk about. So if you guys want to leave us a 5-star review, now that we've cracked the Egon being a drunk code.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing. So obviously, We've talked about Tronte and how we realized from the get, you know, the whole thing is about his mother missing and that bad relationship there, right? And now we've talked a bit about Doris, and she's going off her nut trying to find her, and she's, you know, going to her husband about it, not even being subtle about the situation. So then we actually do find out where Agnes is, and she's in the future, I'm guessing 2053.
Yeah, I think that's what they say.
Right. With Adam, and we see these little things like, you know, he instructs her to give Claudia that newspaper clipping that, you know, involving her own death. So there's a lot of like just filling in blanks. It's just things that have been established before, and we just got to see how they can where they start from, or the origin of them, I guess. And they even say something like, you'll tell Martha then what the origin really is. And I'm like, okay, origin. And I'll be honest, for a minute there, I was like, oh, is it going to be what I was talking about in the last episode where it's because she brings the dark matter to 1888? It's all her fault? but I think it's not that at all.
Nope.
And it's very strange to have this many Marthas kind of floating around the same episode. because there's not much, there's little age difference between, I was saying 2019 Martha and Traveler Martha, but then in my notes I got rid of the 2019 part. Because now she's bouncing all around time anyway, so I'm saying naive Martha and traveler Martha. But we see Magnus, right?
Yep.
So
Magnus, Franziska, and the unknown girl with the scar on her face from the 2050 timeline. All hanging out. Yep. She's hanging out with Adam's group there with no explanation.
Oh, she's standing there. She just doesn't speak, but she doesn't have any lines in the episode. But I think she is standing there, right?
Yeah, like her and Adam have some kind of like moment, but I don't remember if they talk about anything.
Well, there's a bunch of really interesting things in this segment of the episode, but one of them, because I think we were speculating about it. The woman or girl or whatever age we want to call her, who was already there in 2053, the one we were wondering about, who was hanging out with Jonas before he bounced back to you know, the 1920s or whatever. This the little moment between her and Agnes and the way Agnes is treating her. Is Agnes possibly her mother?
I don't know. I'm wondering if, just while we're talking about it, I'm wondering if like maybe Magnus and Franziska, maybe that's their kid, and then she's kind of like assigned in the future to like, you know, like help out Elizabeth because that's Franziska's sister. I don't know.
But why? But why show Agnes be the one, you know, with her and showing the kind of affection that she is? By the way, other than Doris, the only person we've seen Agnes show affection for, unlike her quote unquote son,
right?
Because it's set up to look that way. It looks like, oh, is she her mom? How and when did that happen? It's like, you know, it's this show. It could have been who knows when. But there's something there. They just haven't come out and said it, but they definitely have they're definitely throwing a major clue our way, because why else would they be interacting like that? It would be weird otherwise.
Yeah.
All right, I'm just taking a quick look at these notes I have in green because I looked like that I got really confused by something. Let me see. I'm telling you, if I actually read it out loud, you'd be like, "What? What I said about the dark matter she gave?" So it kind of feels like it's true. Although he didn't still leave, but what is he referring to? As far as like, you know, we haven't seen Martha in the 1920s yet, have we? That's one time period she had bounced over to. Going to be a future episode now that back in 2053. Oh, that was weird. They've been doing that thing when they cut to like the future, how it's a different kind of a thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The way they go from one time period to the other.
But I don't know, I kind of thought they were doing that when they're like going from like one reality, from like one universe to the other.
Yeah, but did you notice a stutter in one time they did it?
Yeah, kind of like it was like a false start. Yeah.
Yes, that was. I was like, wait, what? Why did they? Why would you do that? Why did you?
Yeah, but it was really strange. I'm not really sure.
Oh, and at a certain point, I think when they show like all the letters and numbers being totally reversed, and I was like going, have they been really keeping up with that, or maybe they just haven't gone to that other universe that hardly at all? Because yeah, I saw it was like everything was in reverse. It was a total like mirror image of the date and time and everything. I think my note was basically, have they actually been consistent with doing that on the show? But then again, I think despite a lot of things, a lot of what we've been seeing has still been in the world that already had their apocalypse. I guess.
Yeah.
So, here's my note. Agnes, an unnamed girl. Yep, we already talked about it. Da, la, 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 la. Ah, this color coding was a great idea, Scott. Anyway, let's get to like one of the meatier things about the episode is between Adam and the traveler Martha. The whole thing, like, you know, you made me a promise. Where's the origin and how to destroy it? And even though he says you won't do it, but he wants to explain it to her anyway. So this is kind of, I know we're cutting to the chase with this episode, but this is kind of one of the major things. So what did you think of this whole thing? Is this what did you think? Was this one of the theories that we had already?
I'm not sure. I don't know if we discussed it or not, did we?
Well, we were trying to figure out where this trio came from.
Right. Yeah, I think my only theory that it was like maybe Hannah and Ulrich's baby. I didn't speculate in any other, I didn't have any other theory.
So, but apparently, according to what we find out at the end of this episode, you know, when Adam takes Martha to, once again, they're in that house again. That set gets lots of use, even though they have to keep messing it up to be post-apocalyptic and everything. He finally says this is where everything began, and we find out that the older version of her sent her and Jonas back, apparently to mate.
Yeah.
And the son is the origin, and the implication is, and that Scarface dude, he is the son. So he's the offspring that happens between Martha and Jonas. And apparently Martha's actually from, they seem to be saying that she's pregnant already.
Yeah. I don't really understand like how he is the origin of what exactly, because I don't think he's going like going around fucking everybody, so I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe he's Cupid. He's the one who's like, you know, planting arrows into people so they start screwing their first cousins and aunts and uncles in the show. So it's like him and Noah just going around, just. So, yeah, I didn't remember if we had ever said that. I don't recall saying it, so I don't. So I can't
Yeah, I
claim.
don't think so.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It was one of those things where I was like, oh. Okay, that if he's as important a character as they seem to be setting him up to be, that kind of makes sense because everything seems to be revolving around these two more than anything else for this series.
Yeah,
So,
plus if he's the one that wrote the book and the book's like the catalyst for a lot of stuff, then I suppose.
yeah, that was the next thing I was actually going to. I have it right here in big black bold. That book that everyone's been was chasing around all the time and looking for the pages. He's actually the one who wrote it. We actually see him writing some stuff in it at the very end of it. You know, the beginning is the end, whatever. God, if I had a dime for every TV show that deals with time where they have to use the phrase, the beginning is the end is beginning. It's like, oh, shut up. Everyone says that. more. I'm trying to think if there's anything else before I move on, Arthur. And well, feel free to jump in with something yourself because you usually your mind's usually crackling with
No,
something.
yeah, no, I think we've pretty much covered almost pretty much everything in my notes.
Well, let's see. I went through my red. I went through my purple. I just finished pretty much going through the green.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about the stuff like,
The
Jonas
blue.
hanging out in the future.
That would be my blue stuff. That's important. Okay. That's where we have the naive alternate Martha with older but not old bag Martha.
Yeah. Not as irradiated, not as irradiated as Adam, Martha.
No. So first we're in that cavern or whatever it is where all the names or everything are written all over in chalk on the walls in chalk. I hate to say this. I hate it. I hate myself for doing this. But you know what? Certain people aside, I did love the show as well. Did you not think of the thing from Lost where they come across the wall, the cavern wall, whatever, with all the characters' names with the numbers written all over the place? It kind of
No,
reminded me of that.
and no, actually, I kind of forgot that happened in Lost. I didn't really, I don't know, of the stuff in that season that didn't stand out to me that much, so I didn't.
I remember just because of the numbers. Because apparently, I just love the idea of like, oh, everybody had a number. And it's like, oh, and all these numbers are the numbers that survived.
Yeah.
Is that your explanation, fuckers? Anyway.
Yes.
So basically, Martha, at this point, early in the episode at least, despite everything she's already seen and traveling through this, the wormhole through the portal under the mountain, in the cavern, whatever, she's still going, this isn't really happening. I'm just gonna leave. I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna wake up and none of this really happened. Like she's some sort of like Disney princess or something. And I wanted someone to slap her first. It's like, no, it's happening. But the point is made later on with between all of them is that here, older Martha, here we go, tells Jonas that the older version of herself lied to him.
Yes.
I love the idea that we keep having, versions of characters being in conflict with younger or older versions of themselves. So it's a psychological treasure trove on this show because she's, obviously opposed to the older version of herself. So I guess she says there's no way to save both worlds. So basically Jonas's world is toast. There's nothing that can be done to stop that. But now they can only save the alternate world, which is about to go kablooey like in the next couple days. So I guess, Jonas try she runs off, Jonas tries to settle her down, and then later on they decide to finally have sex.
Ooh.
Which is fine, because at least, they're sort of close to, well, age. I don't know. Well, I guess I'm sure the actors are older, but it's not as weird as the one thing I left out, maybe on purpose, when in back in the 50s when young Claudia goes to see Tronte in his room. Mean, maybe she just decided to get naked, and since she got this, since she saw his equipment in a previous episode, and that'll be it. But I felt like they were implying something more was going to happen with the kids there.
Yeah, I think they've been dating for a while or something, and you're just gonna bang.
Yeah, but they're like, what are they, 12?
No, I think they're probably like, I don't know,
13?
15, 16, something.
That's a very young looking
Yeah,
15
but
or
yeah,
16.
because Helgi's like 11 or 12 there, and she, these other kids are definitely a few years older.
You see, again, I can't look this stuff up to know for sure because I'll get spoiled on shit.
Yeah.
Oh, I did
But
leave. Oh, come on, come on.
yeah, but that sounds about right because, because
Well,
Helgi would be the young one, and then.
maybe it's just they just look really young, so it just makes me kind of go,
Yeah.
there's something really creepy about it. But German. Speaking
Yeah,
of
you
creepy
can't.
in German, so we are now in the. That's four episodes in, right? So a couple.
Yes, halfway there.
I'm sorry. Is Jonas ever gonna wash his fucking hands?
Yeah, I don't think he's ever going to wash his hands. I don't think he's ever going to brush his teeth because his teeth are looking pretty scuzzy too. So I don't know what the deal is, but he is one dirty looking.
He still has Martha's blood all over his hands.
Yeah, and he could get a fucking scarf too. I mean, his neck looks like shit. Wear a fucking scarf, kid.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we're in an age where we all have to wash our hands constantly. I just keep noticing that. Like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Do they not have soap anywhere? Anywhere? Just rubbing them in the sand, even. Come on, dude. Yeah, I think that actually is everything in the episode that I can think of.
Yeah, I think we got it pretty much clear.
I don't know how well I did with it, but that I think that's.
It's we're good.
All right. Didn't we see, and we did. I know Noah is talked about. Don't we see Noah briefly in the episode, or am I crazy?
Yeah, we saw Noah.
Okay. Why did we see Noah? And I didn't write it. Oh, I just wrote a. I wrote Noah and older Noah. What is it? Do we see two versions of? No, we only saw one of Noah.
Yeah, we just saw the middle-aged Noah, who we haven't seen for a while.
Why did I write a note like that? So strange. Maybe I wrote my note in my sleep. Anyway, so Yeah, I mean, they certainly packed this one with a whole lot of stuff. Again, it's very, you know, Martha seems to be at the center of a lot of this, but when you're watching Netflix, you know, the next episode starts right after, and I have to, like, stop it, like, 10 seconds into it. Because one of the dangers, not just because of how we're doing the episode per podcast kind of thing, I feel like it would be so, if we say we watched two in a row, and then we'll do like two podcasts in a row or something. I don't care how well our notes are kept or not. We're gonna end up mentioning things that happened in the next episode. I just know it.
Right.
You know? There's no. It,
yeah.
So.
So that's what we do, yeah.
So luckily each one up because like, oh, this tree, stop. No, that's not spoiling. Alrighty then. So next will be episode 5. I don't know what the title of that one is. I don't think I actually looked
at the title. It's called Life and Death.
Oh, okay. That's kind of big. I know that if you're going to have death in the title, then you better be killing people. I don't know why I would say that. All right. So we will hopefully get to that one, depending on our respective schedules. Hopefully in the next, I'm just going to say sometime in the next 24 to 48 hours. We'll see what happens, guys. Till then, if you have been able to get through and enjoy our little podcast here, chances are you'll enjoy hanging out on our podcast page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast. Like the page and you can join the conversation about shows like Dark and so many others. You can bring up anything that's pretty much TV or movie related there. It's okay. You can find us on the iTunes, Serious TV Drama Podcast. Subscribe to our feed. You can rate and review us there. I tried to see if we could be on Spotify. We can't be there as of right now because of licensing issues, so sorry. But, you know, if you were just to pop us into Google, Serious TV Drama Podcast, you'll actually find us in a lot of other weird spots. I don't know how that happens, but, you know, it happens. And, you know, 17 other websites seem to carry random podcasts. It's very strange.
Nice.
We have an email. I'll probably check it sometime later tonight or tomorrow to see if anyone's ever used it. If you ever want to send us an email, it's just stvdpodcast@gmail.com. It's mostly just porn junk mail there, I think, every time I look, but you know, which is actually very appropriate for Dark. And you can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is @stvdpodcast. STVD as in Serious TV Drama Podcast. Again, it's Thursday night, so we will be getting this out to you Friday. We'll hopefully get to the next one within the next day or two, and hopefully Brian and I will also be back probably Sunday night, if our schedules are permitting, or Monday, to do the Perry Mason podcast. And if it turns out both of you are up and ready to do a podcast in the same night, I will just do them back to back with the two of you, and I'll figure out which one to release first. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, it would be kind of funny. I can see me doing that.
Probably do Perry Mason first, just because Dark, you know, we're kind of spreading it out.
Yep, that is exactly what I would do. And also, the only problem is usually there used to be a situation where, I don't know if it's true anymore, where there would be an issue of trying to upload more than one podcast within the same 24-hour period. Like, there was a problem with it or something. Like, it wouldn't show up on iTunes or something.
Yeah. You
know. Anyway, okay.
We'll figure it out.
Well, it's only 1:30 in the morning, so no big deal. So, okay. Dan, once again, lovely talking to you about the show. I am going... Hopefully, next one we are going to start using you as a pinata and bang all the good ideas out of your head. See what we come up with. And with all that, good night to you and good night to everybody out there.
Good night.